Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Well, field way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over. It's
over. Here's a chance. That call. Shot rebound. Score.
Hello, good listener. Welcome back to the Talkin' Sports Podcast. Rob over there.
And to those of you who aren't good.
You terrible listeners. We have time for you, too.
Yeah, well, we actually have more time for you.
It is Super Bowl Sunday in the TCA studio. We will talk very little Super Bowl because by the time you hear this, it'll be over.
Yeah, and so you and I haven't touched on that. I know you and Maddie talked about it a bit. And
a little bit.
You've got a little, some other people weighing in with their wise and knowledgeable opinions.
Sure.
I want to see the Chiefs win. I'm feeling a 49ers win, though.
I got no time for a team who can somehow get the job done with eight pass attempts.
Yeah, only eight pass attempts because you got that three-headed
monster. Yeah, no, I get
run,
it.
Run but... the ball, man. Now, and again, the game hasn't yet happened. I think we're still a couple hours from kickoff.
Yep. We are all 9 hours into the pregame show.
Yeah, exactly. A day and a half. Yeah, if they can run the ball early, I like their chances. But if you force Jimmy G to have to throw,
yeah, it's not going to be.
It's not going to be good. I think he'd be a great. He seems to be a great manager,
right,
of the game. Now, I think there's a lot of interesting talk that what really got him traded out of New England was that. Perhaps he was a better looking man than Tom Brady.
Impossible.
Yeah, and Tom's like, Giselle's asking a lot about Jimmy G.
All right.
Get rid of that guy.
Get him the fuck out of here.
We can only have one gorgeous man per unit here.
Now, in the last week or so, we've seen rumors that Brady's kids have been registered in Tennessee schools. Also,
really?
Also, that the new Vegas Raiders interested in Tom Brady.
See,
he's got to go back to New England, right? There's no chance he's going anywhere else.
And people getting their panties in an absolute wad when he tweeted out that picture of him walking out the tunnel.
So that turned out to be
a Super Bowl
ad.
Came out
this morning. It was a Super Bowl ad, okay. A teaser for a Super Bowl ad. So.
See, the thing
nothing
is...
Nothing there. There's nothing to see here, folks.
Los Angeles Chargers would be a fantastic location for him to end up in.
Yeah.
That's a competitive team.
How about a Buffalo Bill?
I think they like what they got going on there.
I know.
I think they're on the... They're saying, hey, we are the next
but
East champions.
New York models greater than California
in a
models.
New York minute.
So maybe Giselle, probably not pushing for Buffalo. But New York, maybe.
Nobody is actually pushing for Buffalo, right?
Yeah, you know what? I kind of like the Chiefs in probably...
Harder head.
Blowout.
Oh, a blowout.
By two touchdowns,
anyway. I hope that that's the case.
And take the under. I think it's at 55.5.
You're going with a blowout and the under?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, Matt.
Maybe like 28-12.
Matches
something like that.
Matches opened his.
It's going to be dull. They're always dull.
I don't believe this is going to be a dull game.
Okay.
I think it's going to be.
San Fran, as you've already pointed out, man, they could shut down. I know I'm picking Kansas City, but like that defense, pretty good.
Well, and the way
Mahomes playoff win has come in Kansas City.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, this is going to be a neutral site.
Yep.
But still, yeah, I don't know. I like Kansas City. But I like it.
And for all of you super knowledgeable, and again,
not here,
you're loving this post Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, true enough. Yeah, but can all rip on us either way.
Yeah,
tomorrow morning,
which is really what we're doing here.
Of course,
13 of the last 15 Super Bowl winners in white.
Okay,
Chiefs are wearing the red. 49ers in their throwback whites.
And if you're a prop bet guy, take the under on how long Is it Demi Lovato that's singing the national anthem?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. Always take the under on how long they're going to hold the last note.
What about the prop bet on will you see J-Lo crack, butt crack? You taking that?
No. No.
I'm not saying do you want to see it, and I know you do.
Yeah. This would have been a killer halftime show in 2002.
Shakira,
it's kind of weird in 2020.
Well, and I'll be
both
I'll,
of them.
I'll be interested to see how that looks.
Last night, a couple of provincial battles in the NHL, one with far more heat on it than the other. Which one do you want to start with? The Battle of Ontario or the Battle of Alberta?
Let's start with the one nobody cares really about, which is the Battle of Alberta.
Okay. It appeared some people cared. Big time win for the Oilers. Some shenanigans.
Their first one, really.
Yeah, I think, Calgary had won the first three.
Yeah, and your boy Buddy Robinson got into it.
He did. I was loving that, man. Buddy Robinson with a goal and a fight.
Yeah. Look at him. Look
Buddy
at that
Robinson,
guy.
Robinson, Calgary Flames jersey.
Yeah, well, I know. See, it's much more palatable than your Ottawa Senators Buddy Robinson jersey, am I right?
Yeah. Well, I'd probably be better served to get the Stockton Heat Buddy Robinson jersey.
Yeah, all right. He's now got a goal.
Yeah. Part of the deal now. Part of the Battle of Alberta. What are you drinking before we get into this?
I'm drinking that last stray, what should have been IPA from Evergreen. Sort of got buried in there amongst a bunch of other things, which I find to be right down the middle there. It's kind of, you know, BP pace fastball. I'm not loving it. I'm not hating it. It needs a little more snap. It needs a little more crispness for my liking.
Okay. I got the chocolate milk stout from Wellington.
Wellies.
And I've only had one pull on it so far, but... Yeah, it's only okay. It's not as good as the brown cow milk stout from up here in Calabogie.
I think you said, yeah.
Yeah. But not bad. So maybe we'll circle back to that as we go.
Well, see, in Wellington, I think, is easily accessible everywhere, right?
So, no, it's true. They've got a good distribution network here set up thus far. So
would you find it to be easy drinking, though?
Yes.
Which I think is what people want to know.
Yeah. No, you could absolutely sit down and have a few of these and whatever. But I'm looking for just a little more...
Magic.
Punch or something. Yeah.
Magic.
A little more magic.
Well, do you believe in magic?
No. This would be a great time. This would be a great time to. We have.
Asked and answered.
A couple of things on coming down the pipe.
Oh, look at you, man. Thank you. You should be on this side of the fucking table.
No, I should not. Shit would be out of control and we would.
So we sit here pre Super Bowl Sunday afternoon. Tomorrow we will have. Chris Stevenson of The Athletic in studio. We're going to talk. We're going to talk a little local sports with him, but we're going to talk a bit about The Athletic and kind of the model that they've got set up. We're going to talk a bit, as we always do, about his background. But he also got his own project fired up here, the Ottawa Craft Beer Insider. You can search for that on your podcast app or on YouTube. And so we should be able to find, I think, lots in common with CJ, as the cool kids call him.
Yeah, and we will be cracking a couple of, we ventured over to Bicycle Craft Brewing.
Built for two.
Yep. So.
Rob and I.
Pretty sweet.
Riding over there, ringing our little ding ding.
Reinforce that. That's got to be a tandem to that bike, right?
That's what I meant.
Come on.
I'm not sitting on the basket in front.
Little basket in the front and the little milk crate in the back, right? We're doubling up, heading out with the growlers, good to go.
Yeah.
But I swung into Bicycle today and picked up some goodies that we'll be able to crack open.
He says he's an IPA guy.
So we'll
dive deep there.
Yeah, I got a couple of those. And then I got a couple of goodies for you and I that we can have on other shows.
Perfect.
So look for that coming down the pipe.
Yeah, later this week we will have an episode of both Tall Can Sports and Audio Whiplash with Chris Stevenson. Like I said, he'll be in here on Monday. Whether or not we release it right away will kind of depend on how immediate the topic becomes. But look for that in the next week or so.
How quickly it becomes out of date.
Yeah, well... That always happens.
I think we're gonna cover a bunch of stuff because he's an interesting cat in terms of long term print journalist with the Sun.
Yep.
And I'm not sure like anything. Print media is kind of like radio, right? Like everything is just shrinking and shrinking. Like you used to have the Citizen and the Sun here. Then the National Post came along. It just, it's all now under Post Media, right? So Sun writers are now Post.
Yeah.
Citizen guys, they're all Post writers now. So it's just becoming, so whether he saw the writing, he jumped out and he got on with NHL.com, covered the Habs for a bit.
Yep.
I think he wrote for Flagstick Golf Magazine, covered Brooke Henderson. He does a lot of the...
well, and still, if you follow him on Twitter, he was talking quite a bit about her this weekend again, so...
Well, he goes to a lot of the golf majors.
Right.
Right, he's on assignment for that.
Yeah.
And as you have said, he's also on with... he was the Ottawa guy, first signed on with The Athletic.
Yep.
So he does quite a bit of Senators writing. And he's been spending this year with The View from Belleville. So
yeah. So
he's a guy who's interesting, right? He's got a varied background in the media. So he'll be an interesting guy to have and loves beer.
For sure.
So he's going to
fit right in here.
Seamlessly.
Yeah. We can circle back around to the Battle of Alberta.
Sorry about that.
No, that was worth bringing up for sure. Wanted to mention that Chris will be in here. So look for that later this week. The Oilers... pound the bejesus out of the Flames on the scoreboard. Midway through, well, late, very late in the second period, things go off the rails a little bit as Sam Gagne, former Toronto Marley, pokes one in past Rittich after the whistle. Gets disallowed.
So late
Talbot, sorry.
Yeah, because late second, it's got to be Talbot.
Yeah, Rittich had already gotten the yank. Really just fucked me hard in the pool.
No save Dave.
Yeah, exactly.
hey, so, I'm up on our good Western correspondent, 10 zip coming into today.
I woke up this morning. Oof, 10 zip. No, I woke up this morning to a text from our Western correspondent asking what I had thought of whatever. I'm like, it's 10:30 here. I went to bed. No one
check
cares.
The podcast, man. Check the podcast.
I'll get to you. Yeah, it boils down. I'm sure at this point, most of you have seen the highlights, if nothing else. And, you know, people jump up and kind of get after Gagne. It starts with Giordano. He sort of gets after him. Gagne wants very little part of that. I kind of get that. And then people start to square off. And I wondered early on, because you and I both predicted, I guess we should circle back a little further to that first meeting after
That's
the
true.
All-Star game. We both, well, I know for sure I said, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, we both said that.
Yeah.
We were actually in studio.
Yeah.
Prior to that
to
game,
that game.
Too. Honestly, we need to do this better.
Yeah,
it seems like...
I'm not staying up till every Alberta game's finished to do
true.
The show. Fuck off, Alberta. Get it done earlier in the day, man.
It's called the matinee.
Yeah, the mat.
Matt is right in the name.
For sure. So in that one, Matthew Tkachuk steps up. He fights Zach Cassian. Everybody's talking very respectfully afterwards. Cassian saying, you know, I appreciate the kid stepping up and all this... And it appears to be done, but it's not actually
done. It's not
done.
To me, that makes it worse.
Yeah. And so in this one, once the score starts to get out of hand and there's kind of an opportunity for it to boil over, it does. And now I'm looking at Matthew Tkachuk fighting Ethan Bear going, what is this, right? Like, why is Ethan Bear having to fight Matthew Tkachuk?
Well, who is Ethan Bear?
Well, and so people are pairing off. And then you get to Cam Talbot, who's the backup for the Flames. He's going to fight Mike Smith, who's the starter for...
Which is perfect.
...the Oilers. And you go, a year ago, Mike Smith was on the Calgary Flames, and Cam Talbot was on the Edmonton Oilers. So is anybody, at least out of this pairing, really that married to... And good for you, right? You stood up for your team, and I'm in on this. But I'm not buying that. Like, that you're that... Ooh,
engaged.
I'm the Calgary guy, and I'm the Edmonton. No, you're not. You're just.
I happen to get a contract, and
right.
I'm interested.
Exactly. So I don't know. There was a little bit of the show fight
felt forced
of it.
A bit.
Yeah, but I do get that at least at this point these two teams are engaged in a tight playoff battle, and I'm kind of okay with that. The one thing that I want to get your take on as we sort of break this down, if you go on the NHL app right now. And you watch the highlights from that game, that kind of game in six, they call it the game story. They don't show any of those fights. So this is the NHL kind of saying, look, we're rough and tough and we want, you know, what. But no, we don't actually endorse that. And we don't,
Right. Like, fuck off. Either you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have Brian Burke on your broadcast. You can't have whatever saying we're rough and tough hockey and whatever, and then pretend it doesn't happen when it actually does. Pick a side.
There's a bunch of things here, and you're gonna have to keep me on track here. Okay, so
all right.
So keep the cattle broad.
Get the taser.
Keep the cattle prod handy, right? First of all, the last game I watched maybe the first 15 minutes of the first period.
Yeah.
Shit happened. Nothing was going on.
Exactly.
I snapped that bad boy off, and then Tkachuk fought Cassian.
Yeah.
Right? So I missed all that.
Yep.
I equally, like you, thought nothing was going to happen. And to be honest with you, I'm disappointed that Tkachuk fought him on that night.
Yeah?
Again, you and I differed on the hits.
Yeah.
But I'm like, Cassian, you're a guy who's lived your life
On that line.
And now you're getting railroaded a couple times, yeah. And you don't like it.
And he got his 2 pounds. He pounded the shit out of
him. And you already beat him in that last game. So what? Now I have to square up and fight you?
Right.
We haven't done enough. So I'm actually borderline disappointed in 2020 that Tkachuk still had to fight him.
Okay.
I hit you.
Yeah.
Yep. Fucking suck it up, big boy.
Yeah.
So that was disappointing. Then in terms of this, you're right. You can't have. I watched Brian Burke in between with David Amber in between
first and second of that league game,
which is I love the ebony and ivory thing they got there. Burke looks like a sack of flour with eyeballs on it, right? Like he's. I don't know if we're gonna have him on the podcast anytime soon.
Apparently we're not.
Honestly, I think he'd still want to go me.
Yeah.
However old he is,
I got him. In that fight for
not
sure.
A chance. Not a chance.
I know you.
I'm punching him in the colostomy bag right there. Yeah. Gross.
Hey, how's that Kessel trade get in here?
But he's on there, and again, he's talking to me 1970s hockey,
yes.
Right? He's saying
you can have the skill, but fans want this.
Yeah, he's saying this is the only sport that's other than boxing or combat sports that's played with no out of bounds.
Yep.
Right? You need the hate. You need all this.
Yeah.
And so, I really don't disagree with. I like my hockey with a bit more bite.
Yep.
But fighting is going out the window, man. In terms of
yeah, and like I guess for me, I'm on record like so many people. The Le Cavalier Iginla fight. We've been playing each other for seven games. I'm sick of your shit. I get it, right? A real fight.
Well, give
in
me the
NHL.
Monahan Nugent Hopkins.
Sure.
Whatever.
I'm good with it. I'm fine with it. So what happened on Saturday night? I'm sort of indifferent to. If you're actually this pissed still and you think Matthew Tkachuk and Ethan Bear should fight, yeah, all right, fine. I can get on board with that. I just, it's the weird stance that the league then takes on it that's like, no, we will not promote this. Even though that's all you do is actually promote that this is still a part of it. And that part, I'm sort of like, just pick a side, right?
Well, see,
like, outlaw fighting or don't.
Yeah.
But once this is a the crowd in Calgary genuinely enjoyed it. They were fired up. They were cheering. They were.
Yeah.
So show it.
Okay. Nobody. Yeah.
This happened in your game. It's not outside the rules. It's so show it in the highlights.
Nobody. If you're at the game. They're right. The people who say nobody goes for a beer.
Yeah.
When a fight breaks out.
Yep.
Because like it or not, you are invested in it.
Yes,
right.
Of course.
And so. It comes down to it. We have time for the conversation of fighting or no fighting.
Yeah.
I think you have to show it because it's an absolute in 2020, a full 6-on-6 brawl.
It was a huge part of the game, whether you want it to be or not.
What's the word? It's an abnormality.
Yes.
It is something out of the norm,
yep.
Right? So. To me, it's one of those things where you go, man, this is what happened. It busted loose.
Right. So you go directly to the NHL app to watch the full, game in six. It's not even here. What happened? What are you talking about?
It's okay. Go to YouTube and they'll have a bunch
from 12 angles.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll have 3 minutes of nothing but. I still go back and watch that 2013 Ottawa Senators Montreal Canadiens line brawl.
I thought you were going to say the one with the Sabres.
No,
Ray Emery.
Okay, yeah. And then there's a Flyers one from 405,
yeah.
Which is also a beaut, where they set the league record for penalty minutes. But that Habs Senators one, awesome. So it's one of those things where, I understand fighting is passe, but it is still a you still part allow of it. Your game.
Yep.
And that was a huge factor in that game.
Yes, it
so
was.
So you got to show it. You don't show it because it makes you look like a hypocrite.
Right. And so if Ethan Bear, as a...
Who is that guy?
As a, you know, drafted, developed, whatever, Oiler, if he wants a piece of Matthew Tkachuk, I'm like, all right, I get that. But the two goalies that were on the opposite teams last year, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. You don't care. This yeah. is just a show, right? And you're...
Well, I think it's Cam Talbot wanted to punch Mike Smith.
All right.
Right in the bad haircut.
Sure. You 40-year-old balding fuck.
Well, whatever. He's and he's always, he's rocking the flat brim cap yeah. always. And I'm like, God, dude.
I don't like you.
Well, it's terrible, man. Go with the.
Yeah.
You know. The curve peak. The thing I'm left with that is, yes, Calgary won the first three games or two, whatever it was.
It was the first three, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. They play again. I think they play the last game of the season or something along those lines.
Yeah, very late.
I'm looking at it, and before I snapped it off, and I, to be honest with you, I just checked out what you're talking about in the highlights.
Right.
I snapped it off just before that happened.
Okay.
Again, maybe there was 4 minutes left in the second period when I snapped it off.
Turned out there was 24 seconds left in the second when all hell broke loose, and the refs just sent everybody off and made the third period 20 minutes and 24 seconds.
Yeah, and so I maybe 4 minutes left when I snapped it off.
This sucks.
This is it. It was already 6-3, man. Yep. I got to the shower and I came back and I'm looking at it. And the thing I'm taking away from that, it's a great night when you're an Oilers fan and you can put up a six spot.
Of course.
And I think they had 35 shots at the time. Right, they were already big save or no save. Dave is already out of
the. I have Riddick in the pool. They mercifully yanked him because he was getting lit
at three.
And he was at four.
At four.
And he was ruining my save percentage. And then they put him back in, and the Oilers blasted another one or two blasts. I'm like, fuck, because Talbot got thrown out of the game.
Yeah, yeah. Dave doesn't have it today, man.
Exactly.
Dave's a mess.
I'm getting fucked.
Dave's
all over
a
the
killer.
Place. Yeah.
The thing I'm left with is at you got 6 on 35, right? At that point.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it, and you flip over and you go, Calgary's got 3 on 14.
Yes.
Edmonton, this is your albatross that you will move forward with if you make the playoffs. And I'm still saying if.
Okay.
You it's are not going to get by on that goaltending. You will not. If you're happy to make the playoffs and make the first round, you're going to get blitzed.
I don't know, man. I don't know what's going to happen in that division. There's five teams kind of falling all over the place in that area.
Meandering.
Yeah, sure, let's do that. And once they get in, I have no idea who's going to fall where, right? Like, I'm with you. I don't like Edmonton's goaltending. I don't like Edmonton's defense.
To me, Vegas is the scary thing that's floating around in that division.
I think there's a lot of floaters in that.
No, I know, but to me, that's the one team you really say.
Yep. Get into a playoff round and look for those guys to lock it down.
Well, and then go, that's the one team I don't want to play in that division.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
Just not that they've been any hell beaters, but Fleury posted a shutout last night. Yep. Just in terms of what can happen, their D to me is not great either. In terms of it's anonymous at times.
Yeah.
But they got some nice forward depth. Fleury can put it together. Can he put it together for four rounds? I'm not sure. But he's certainly got a round or two in him.
Yep.
And so to me, of all the things, that's the thing that's sort of rolling around there. And you're like, okay, I'd take some of that Vancouver action. I'd take some of that Arizona action.
Yep. Yep.
Calgary, Edmonton, whatever. You're like, I could see that being a good... I'd rather not take my chances in the first round with Vegas.
But I will stay up for seven games of Calgary-Edmonton in the first round.
Yeah, well, and I agree with you. It is passionate.
Yeah.
And they were saying in the pregame too, and they're like, well, you know, the province is split right at Red Deer. You know, Red Deer's probably the only place you can find indifferent. And I'm like, fuck, I bet you that's not the case.
Yeah. Well, it didn't sound like it in the arena while the Oilers were pumping the flames. There was plenty of people cheering.
Well, and this is what I'm saying is I'm sure in Red Deer, more central Alberta, you're a Flames fan or you're an Oilers fan. I don't think there's too many people indifferent in the province.
So, no.
Wherever that melds through, unless they're Leaf fans and and the occasional Hab fan out there, right? Which happens everywhere because
he's showing up, man.
You hear him in those bars
everywhere.
So that to me is it's interesting, it's exciting, and it would be an awesome first round match.
Yeah.
But Edmonton, you got to make it. You got to make it there.
Before we move back then to the Battle of Ontario, with a couple of more goals, Alex Ovechkin is now inside 200 away from Wayne. He's passed Messier. I think that happened in Ottawa here.
Yep, he scored. He tied and passed Messier here.
Yeah, 694 or 794.
694.
Yeah, 694.
Honey. And 695.
Yeah.
So 695 into an empty net. But he's hanging out at the center line. Yeah. And it's one of those things where you're like, fuck, man. I hate that. That's just cheap shit. And I don't care. Gretzky scored 50-odd goals or whatever it is into an empty net. But the fact that, yeah, that's your deal, and you're not even in the play trying to kill it. Like, if you block or you work hard along the boards, now you're hanging out there. I just think it's cheap shit.
So your distaste for it, notwithstanding.
Yeah, okay, so well, that's I can't get past all that, Matt. Sorry.
Inside 200 at 34 years old.
I'm feeling less like he's going to do it.
I'm feeling more and more, man, as we go. It just feels like, it looks like he's going to put up another 50 this year. Not another 50. Like, this will be a 50-goal year. He doesn't have 50 more in him till the end of the season. Yeah.
86 goals.
Sure. At that point, you only have to maybe do 40 twice. 20. You know, we've talked about this.
Yep.
Every time he hits one of these markers, why wouldn't he just stick around and be... I already think... I'm pretty sure, given the eras they play in, Alex Ovechkin is already...
The greatest goal scorer?
Yes.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Because it's so much harder now than it was then.
Like, you look at the names that he's passed in the past week. Lemieux, Yzerman, and Messier. Those are icons of the sport.
Yeah.
Right. Those are the guys he's passed in his last 10 goals. But those guys played in an era where it was fast and free.
Yeah. Everybody was pumping in 30 goals.
No, if you weren't getting 40, you were nobody.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, a 40 goal scorer in the 80s is a 20 goal scorer now.
Yep. Yeah.
I agree with you. He will end up close. The thing for me is he's 33. He's got no room for glide in his game, right? Once that skating breaks down at all and he's only got the shot. Yeah. And the thing is, you look around him, that Backstrom contract that they just signed 5 years.
Yep.
He's already, Backstrom to me is on the decline.
Yep.
Oshie at his age. Carlson's 30. Does that seem strange to you?
Yeah. But now, honestly, that you say it. He was in that 2010 World Juniors. Well, I guess all right.
And that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, what? Wasn't he just in the... okay, but that's 2010.
Yeah.
And so that's a core that's aging.
Yeah.
Not today, but 2 years out from now, we'll see where that's at. And he'll be there with an aging core that has years left on it.
Yep.
And to me, he's going to have a hard time overcoming that.
Is there anybody right now that you would pick ahead of Washington to be the cup favorites this year? For me, the Blues are the only ones in the conversation, and I'm not in love with their struggling mightily right now. I think, I could see Washington doing it again this year. Not that does shit for Ovechkin and his goal-scoring chase, but that team right now looks...
Well, and the great segue
back
to the Battle of Ontario is we saw here in Ottawa, Washington on Friday... Toronto on Saturday.
Yeah.
Washington does not let you off the hook at all right at this moment, right? Nope. The talent they have and the goaltending tandem they have. We saw Samsonov on Friday, and he's only got like he's like 19-3 or whatever his record is.
Yeah, no, something stupid. He's
And so they're nursing him along, right? They're just sort of, they will exploit whatever your weakness is. And Ottawa was game, right? They sort of hung around
and they
plucked away, and it was a situation where the goalie was pulled. But they have finishers, and they have winning pedigree.
I agree with that. Yeah.
To me, it's a long answer to your very short question, which is kind of what we do here.
Yeah. Otherwise, every show would be 7 minutes long. All our listeners would be really happy.
I would put them as the favorite to win the cup right now on
Boston,
February 2nd.
In terms of standings, is closest to them in the East. I think Washington would take Boston apart pretty quickly. 5-6 games tops right now. Just the depth, it's not even close. I think Washington's coming out of the East, barring some sort of major injury or something.
Tampa-Columbus fiasco.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Those things do happen.
But they don't have the same... Like, they have more jam than Tampa does, right?
And, for sure they do.
Yeah.
And to me, as I said to you, when you look at the past two Cup champions, and this is more of the Dubas indictment, right, is...
It's a one-sided indictment, but yeah.
Is the... No. It is not.
It absolutely is. Only one side of this table is indicting Kyle Dubas.
But only one side of this table has, you know, blue blockers on. Is the last two Cup champions, and I've said this forever, right? The last two Cup champions played a heavier brand of hockey.
What about the two before them?
What about them?
Did not play a heavier brand of hockey.
Right.
Okay.
Further back. Do you have Crosby on your team?
I wish.
Do you have Malkin on your team?
No. Hey, just before we do the Battle of Ontario thing.
Yeah.
Saw an interesting tweet that said, you know, just about where Sid is.
Hey, Rob, look over there.
Where Ovechkin is. On their best day.
Yep.
Maybe Malkin's the best of the three. In terms of controlling a game by himself. His size, his physicality, his ability to do it at both ends. Like, he's ahead of Ovechkin in his own end, right? In terms of his two-way game. Is he ahead of Sid in that part? I'm not sure. He shoots harder than Sid. We've seen him do some really dominant things when Sid's hurt, but he kind of goes back to that secondary role afterwards. But on their best day, is he maybe the best of the three of them?
I think that's one of those Lemieux kind of things, yeah. Right? Where you look at how great Lemieux was, and you're like, yeah, but he sometimes seems disinterested, or he's,
yeah.
You know, I'm pissed off and I'm sulking a bit, right? And Lemieux was great.
Yeah.
I think Lemieux may be maybe the greatest talent,
right.
Singular talent of all time.
It's just an interesting...
Well, okay, and it is a super interesting because I wanted to balk at it right away.
Yeah.
But it comes down to where does... And you said jam, or where does grit, or where does... Big game play, you know, those sorts of.
Yep.
To me, Crosby, I take their passports away. I would hope, but Sid's a guy who just, to me, does.
So does Ovi. Ovi won't shy away from you.
No. But I mean, in terms of
clutch,
like, clutch, and if you look at and Ovi and Sid will forever be compared.
Yep.
And to me, it comes down to head to head. What's happened, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And it's unfair, but Ovi doesn't play for Switzerland. He doesn't come from a hockey minnow, right? And when those two play head to head, international or NHL,
and you got to lump Malkin into that too, right? He loses with Ovi in most of those international competitions, right?
But so, wins with Sid.
Yeah, well, funny that, eh? Yeah, no, just an interesting...
But that is an interesting conversation.
Yeah, that on their best day, you know, who fits into that. Why don't we touch then briefly on Saturday night's game, Toronto-Ottawa. I made it into the LFR Dangles video afterwards, asking the question, is this the dullest, is this the worst that the Battle of Ontario has ever been at in terms of energy or emotion or... we've been through stages... mainly everything before the last 3 years where Ottawa was just dominating Toronto as a good team and Toronto was shit. Toronto now a good team, Ottawa not so good.
A good team, yep, totally fine.
And we did, you know, some years where both teams were making the playoffs and, you know, whatever in the series, Toronto was winning them, but there was a ton of energy there in the games, in the stands, in the fan bases. Last night's game was just...
That game last night would have had way more atmosphere if it was played in Ottawa.
You think? That was a shit game.
Okay, a shit game, which is the way we need it to be. Okay. But I mean, the atmosphere, when it's all Leaf fans in the building,
yeah,
right? At least if it's in Ottawa, you'll have 8,000 Leaf fans firing it up.
Well, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Right? Yeah, but I'm just saying, to me, it was quiet for huge stretches of that game.
Yes, it was. But even on the ice, to me, it just looked like these guys don't care about that old 20. That's a 20-year-old rivalry.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, I agree.
Does Austin Matthews and Brady Tkachuk care about Leafs Sens? Probably not.
They should.
Sure.
They should, because the fans still care about it.
Yeah.
And so.
But those guys don't remember any of those.
Of course they don't. No. Well, Brady is born in 01 or
that's
2000.
What I'm saying. Yeah.
No. So I get it, but. You would hope they would, because it means a pile to the fan bases.
Yeah.
And so, you know, whether it's the Leaf fans that want to just continue to keep the Senators down, or if it's or if it's the Senators fans who hate the Leaf fans,
fuck you,
infiltrating the building and the four straight playoff losses, and you hate that shit, right? That's the thing. And I'm looking at that game last night, and I'm like, if we're going to lose 2-1, do it in regulation, man. If we make it to overtime.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, for the tank. Right?
This is it. This is it. I don't want to take the point and still have the Leafs get two.
Right.
I want the two and they get one, or forget it. Give them the two and we take none. Right? It's one of those things where I'm disappointed by the whole thing.
Yeah.
But so to me, I'm happy as a Senators fan watching that game last night with large stretches of it. You watch where Toronto gets their shit together and they dominate. They have that ability with all the talent they have that we don't have.
Right.
That they can dominate for stretches, but they didn't.
They didn't.
And they gave up a pile of chances that a team with more finish is going to fuck you guys with.
Yeah, well, and there was a great tweet, and I forget who put it out, kind of early in the second period, and said, the only thing saving Toronto from all these fucking turnovers is Ottawa and all their fucking turnovers, right? Like,
well,
and, to me, that was an ugly fucking hockey game.
And their lack of finish.
Yeah, well, and one of the Oilers guys that I follow, Archeologuy, I believe is his Twitter handle.
Archeologuy. All right. Yeah.
And he said, watching, you know, as someone with no horse in the race, that Ottawa 4-on-3 power play in overtime, he said that looked like fucking beer league compared to what Toronto got to run out a minute later, right?
Yeah.
Like, and they just kept trying to shovel it to Pageau, and he's whiffing on it and he's healing it. And they finally get one over to Duclair, and he gets a great shot away, and Hutch just gets a blocker on it. But at the other end, you know, it's going to be Tavares, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and fucking Keith just goes, yeah, I'm running 50% of the cap out there right now.
Yeah, and I get that. And so it's one of those things where, and you know, as a Leaf fan who's seen the rebuild very recently, right? When you're running out of, like, Pageau, not a power play guy.
No.
Tyler Ennis, not making anybody's 4-on-3 power play, right? Like, these sorts of things.
No.
Connor Brown, you're not on anybody's number one power play
top
unit.
Top 20 in the league in ice time. Did you know that?
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't, but I saw that last night.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, Duclair, you are not here on that top unit when this team gets good.
Probably not.
And so, it's running out a bunch. Why is Ron Hainsey ever on anybody's power play? And so, but again, you look at it and go, okay, these are your rebuilding years.
Of course, yeah.
These are the placeholders who are getting you to that next stage. Like Chris Tierney, love the guy. Great hockey sense, good hands.
Chris Tierney thing.
But, yeah, no, it's weird, man. It is weird. It's totally weird. But he's another guy who's just like, he's not here when your team is good. And so, yeah, when we don't score on that 4-on-3 and the Leafs take one, you're like, fuck. And again, it's been like so many other times. Craig Anderson really played well, as he has in a bunch of Battle of Ontario games.
I said to Steve Warren on Twitter last night, wouldn't mind if Ottawa left him behind.
Well, and see,
play backup for us, but we need Rich Uncle Eugene to hold on to all but $75 for his captain.
What are you sending back to her? What are you sending her away?
Yeah, nothing.
Yes. Your first round pick. Oh, wait, no.
Nope, can't do that. First round pick. Tell me Sens fans aren't looking for that.
For no, for a goalie, you know, you don't get it. That's not the case. to me, it's a bunch of games where, bang, Marner scores that goal, and you're just like, sorry, Andy.
Yeah.
That's just like, you did good tonight.
Because what's he supposed to do? He's looking at Nylander, Tavares, Matthews, all way more likely than Marner to shoot. And Marner said that in the postgame. He's like, I think sometimes people don't expect me to shoot. I'm like, I didn't expect you to shoot. I watch you every night.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those things where it's like, and that's a good shot. And yeah. But again, it's like so many times, then Craig just skates right off.
Yeah.
Right? And you're like, sorry about that, Andy.
Remember in the preseason, was it not one of the Flyers? Somebody scored and the door opened, like, as they were skating by the net, and they just walked right off to the locker room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really just a...
Sorry, you can just walk right over that. That's
yeah. And away we go.
Yeah.
And so...
I got to tell you, and I texted you, the team looked like shit, the Leafs, for the most part. Whether that was Ottawa doing it to them, Cappy's sitting up in the press box.
Do we know any more about that?
In the post-game interview, Sheldon Keefe said it was internal accountability.
Okay.
So... Did he show up late to practice? Was he out partying? I don't know, but
well,
I did.
You said to me, Marner's and Matthews looked like they were out with Kaspin and Kaspin.
Yeah.
Kasperi.
Looked like
Kapanen.
A couple guys who were out late with Kaspin last night, and somebody's got to sit for it. I don't know, but.
Yeah, I'm putting that guy who hasn't scored in 15 games, whatever it is.
So I don't know if there's any truth to that, if that's legit. I don't know what happened, but none of them look good. Now, Tavares also left for a few minutes in the first. There was some speculation that maybe he was throwing up or shitting himself or whatever. And is there a bug going through the team? Were they all out late the night? No idea. But the whole thing, the whole night just felt weird. I don't know. They're just...
Okay, but how do you feel about that as a Leaf? Does that...
Just barely scraping by the Sens?
Does that fill your sails with confidence?
No, of course not. But I'm also not going to overreact too much just because...
That is not what I expect from you.
We see bad teams push good teams hard every night in this league. Like, it's really tight, and the Sens, for whatever reason, always... I went last year, the night before, the night after St. Patrick's Day.
It was St. Patty's Day. They were in the St. Patty's uniforms.
Yeah, and the Sens just pumped the Leafs.
Yeah, that's Sparky's fault, though.
Yeah, well, you'd like to think so, but I think they beat us again 2 weeks later, so I don't know. I think the Leafs are a better team, and maybe...
The Leafs are a way better team.
Of course. But do the Sens maybe still get up more for it, or do the Leafs just overlook?
But you look
Ottawa?
At you look at
know.
You look at sections where
shit.
Where the Senators could get a good cycle game going down low, and the Leafs just, man, to me that is, I'm afraid a bit if I'm a Leaf fan.
Well, that's legit, but you are missing Dermott and Riley, like two of your top four or five.
I'll give you the Riley. I think Riley's a top 10 defenseman in the NHL. I think that legitimately.
Okay.
The Dermott, I'm not sure he's helping you with that cycle game.
Well, he's a legit third pair guy, which is where he would have played.
Yeah, no. And I think
Marinson could not that Ottawa goal. Well, Marinson could not have done more to screen Hutch if he'd have turned around and put a garbage bag over his head.
Yeah,
like, just picking the corner. There.
The number of chances that were generated off Marinson shifts.
I know.
I'm not oblivious to that, right? That is a guy who probably is not an
NHL
player.
And I don't know if we saw Rasmus Sandin for the second half of the game. Like, he just disappeared.
I'm not here to tell you that Dermott is not an NHL defenseman, because he absolutely is.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying he's more of what the Leafs have, which is what Dubas and Keefe...
That's what we're going to do.
...want to do, right? But I'm saying against teams that have more talent,
and
it's going to be a bit of a Chinese... fire drill, man, in your own end.
So Leafs move up going into Monday. Two points on the Panthers.
Loving the Habs beating the Panthers last
night. Thank God. I don't know what's going to come from Barkov's MRI, but he should probably take 4 to 6 weeks just to make sure he's okay.
Take the rest of the season.
Yeah,
make sure
just sit down, man.
You got a long
it's
career
okay.
still ahead of you.
But Leafs and Panthers on a Monday night. Leafs 2 points up. Panthers have 2 games in hand. It's a big game suddenly with, a team that I think you and I both expected would be right there, right? The Panthers. And
right in that 4-5 spot.
I don't think we expected the Leafs would be still dicking around.
In that 4-5 spot.
Right. But here we are, currently tied with both wild card teams. And
you know what I'm loving? You know what I'm loving, Matt?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Yeah, I could go for a quarter pounder with cheese right now.
Yeah.
I'm loving the push that the Habs are making right now. Gallagher's back, right?
They're terrible.
Yeah, Drouin is on the cusp of coming back, and the Hab fans are noses in the air. They're like,
"We're coming."
Smells like spring.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not.
You're not.
But you think you are. No. And you're going to make this big push, and you're just going to push yourself out of better drafting position and a draft you're hosting. And you're like, I love that. I love to see people's hopes dashed.
How tight did your jeans get when Sens fans saw Thomas Hurdle go down for the Sharks?
I told you. Yeah,
Sens fans. Sens have the Sharks' first round pick this year.
Trade out Dylan and Thornton and a full on, I'll need a cod piece just to contain all that action.
Yeah. Sens could have two top five picks this year and would speed that rebuild up.
That is sexy talk. Now, at minimum, whatever happens, it'll be two top tens.
Yep. Yeah.
Unless shit goes horribly awry.
God willing.
Thomas Hurdle, right? Out for the season.
Yep.
That is a crazy blow, right? No Couture for, I'm not sure for how long Couture is out.
That one's a little strange. We haven't got a ton of detail on it, but yeah.
But you are looking
things
at.
Things are off the rails in San Jose.
I don't know. Tampa, San Jose last night, do you know what the final score in that game was?
No.
Okay. So in that game, a 3-0 Tampa win, it was 15-2 after one period shots. The Sharks had a power play. And still only got one shot, two shots in the entire period.
Right.
That's with Brent Burns and Eric Carlson on whatever.
Still Timo Meier.
Yeah, but whatever happens, Evander Kane was signed to big fat money.
Yep.
Vlasic, but all I'm saying is on a power play, you should be able to get a couple of shots with a cut.
Yeah, in your fucking sleep.
No. And so
apparently not.
To me, that's one of those things where shit goes south. Shit goes south.
Right.
So yes, I'm loving it. To me, that is exciting.
Was talking to, just before we wrap this one up, a couple Sens fans on Twitter, as well as our friend Steve Warren, just about Jason Spezza.
Spez!
And whether or not, you know, he's become one of those players at 36, he's not 40 like Thornton, he's not whatever. But Sens fans that I follow, at least, seem to be genuinely happy for the guy this year, that he's having a little bit of success. He is up to 8 goals in 40 games this year.
He's had 8 goals in his last
76 and 72 games in the two previous seasons. So now part of that is getting, you know, a little better talent around you. I don't know how low in the lineup maybe Dallas had him playing.
Scratching him sometimes.
And he could have had more had Babcock not been fucking scratched him here. Sens fans seem to be genuinely happy for the guy that he's found a little bit of success. As a Leaf fan, that guy playing, you know, in a pinch, third line right wing, otherwise fourth line, and chipping in the way he has on the power play. And you can see him all the time in Leaf broadcast. They're showing he's tapping Sandin on the shoulder and saying, hey, next time, you know, try this. Or Kapanen and guys like that. The young, really interesting guy to follow. The thing I knew most about him as a Leaf fan when he was a Senator was his goofy laugh. Exactly. But he's been a breath of fresh air, and it's put out a tweet last night that said that currently Jason Spezza has more points than Jeff Skinner and is $71 million cheaper. which isn't bad. Interesting guy. Do you think at the end of the day, I know we sort of half brought this up, is that a guy whose number you'd retire in Ottawa?
I don't think so. 686 games played. I know if you're Eric Lindros, that gets you in the Hall of Fame. I'm not sure he's even a jersey retirement.
Yeah. Well, like we've agreed, right, that those are, it's not the Hall of Fame. Those are for the market, right? And so I just wonder about a guy like Spezza and maybe the legacy that he did or didn't leave in Ottawa.
Well, I'm hoping like hell that Drake Batherson, who's wearing that number 19 right now, and I, through my lacrosse career, I wore 19.
All the greats.
Well, no, I was a big Yzerman guy, right? So I have Larry Robinson. I also like Larry Robinson.
Sakic.
Yeah, Joe Sakic. Like, to me, there's a bunch of great 19s. And so you're like, I think Jose Bautista.
Yep. Bat flipping motherfucker.
Yeah.
Just like David Riddick.
Just like Dave Riddick, exactly. Yashin was a 19 before Spezza.
Oh, yeah, that's too bad. Michael Renberg is a Leaf.
Okay, but no. But great talent, right? In
yes,
terms of
course.
When he was here.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I know Spezza's place in the in
he's part of that big line, right? That
pizza,
Alfie.
The pizza line. I know.
I don't. All right.
You don't get it?
Nope.
You don't pick up the reference?
Nope.
Pizza. Score 5 goals in a game. You get a free slice of pizza with your ticket.
So Heater and Alfie and Spez were giving everybody pizza?
Because Pizza actually had to bump it up to 6.
Okay.
Because that line was just crushed.
You're killing us.
Exactly. Somebody in the head office is like, you know what? That 5 goals in Ottawa, forget about it. We got to go to 6. Yeah, that 06, 07 range, they were just tearing it up.
Yeah.
And so.
Isn't that enough in the market?
You know what? I just don't think so.
Okay.
For me.
Yeah.
Right? With Yash already having that jersey, I'm hoping if
they didn't retire that, did they?
No, of course not. Okay. Of course not, because Spezza still wore it.
Yeah, right.
And now Batherson's in it. And so I'm hoping if it gets retired.
It's off Batherson.
I'm hoping it's off Batherson. Like, really, at this point.
Yeah.
That guy is so. I like Spez, and I never saw him as being one of those guys that exactly what you're saying, right? Who
he
is,
could do that late in his career.
Right.
Be like, the secondary guy.
You hear. Pierre McGuire's talked about it, but Spezza's last couple of years in Dallas. Mark Mathot, I've heard him talk about Spez and his influence on younger players in his last couple of years in Dallas. Just how Spezza spent more time working on the little things in his game, right? Because as a guy who was, as a junior, he was
one-dimensional as they come.
But exceptional, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And he was supposed to be that. That pick now, he felt, I believe he was second overall. Ottawa got him.
Yeah, part of the Chara.
Yeah, he was the Islanders' second overall pick that we got.
Yeah.
Don't forget Bill McCault. I know he quite often overlooked Bill McCault.
That's legit.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bill.
Yeah. I just think not enough. For me, it's not making the cut locally.
Right.
I am probably, and I'm not sure I can back this up. But I'm going to pitch it out anyways
because
that's what I do.
That's what a podcast is all about, man.
I'm probably retiring the 25 before I do the 19 for Spez.
Who's 25?
Chris Neal.
Oh.
I'm probably.
That's a bad call.
Okay. Yeah, I get it.
That's longevity over talent. And
It's the games played. It's the impact in the community.
Yeah.
It's all those sorts of things, right?
It's retiring 28 in Toronto. It's, you know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, it's the exact same thing.
Have you done that?
I don't remember. Probably.
I think you have.
Yeah,
I think probably. You have. But that to me is one of those things, right? That's a guy who played the 1,000 games.
Yeah.
Honestly, and when they talk about bleeding for the franchise.
Yeah, no, for sure.
That is what that is. And that's a guy who, right, came out of nowhere. Like a 70-point getter in his best junior year,
right.
Chris Neal, we're talking about.
Yep.
Who had to work hard. And absolutely bled for the franchise, and so has opened businesses here. Has stuck
Central
around.
Beer House. It's good business.
Love the honestly, yeah, man. I was in there,
man.
And it's
good.
It's good times.
Yeah.
So does a lot of charity work. Still does a lot of charity work, and I think that's part of what gets
it
his
is.
What
it
his number
is.
Retired is his affinity with the local fan base.
Yeah.
Well,
and so Spez said in his post game, he's like, some of my best memories and my best hockey is absolutely played in Ottawa. And he's like, but I also feel honored to play in Toronto and be on the other side of this.
Well, he's a Toronto kid.
Sure.
And I know no matter what happens, right, that you are born somewhere and you're a Leaf fan, and I'm sure he was. And then you end up playing on the opposite side of the battle and you're living it.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, you go away for 5 years to Dallas. And then you come back to you get a chance to play for your hometown team.
Yeah.
He probably also had pajamas, but Tavares stole that thunder.
His
and
parents
so.
Didn't take any pictures.
Yeah, exactly.
fucking mom, come on.
Yeah, where are you, mom? Thanks for that. But
I didn't have a great Twitter announcement to make.
Yeah, exactly. And so I get how he could have the separation from Ottawa. right? It's not his hometown.
Yeah.
He's now back in Toronto. And yeah, I have great memories. And I'm not turning my back
on
that.
No, of course. But I'm surprised maybe how much Leaf fans have jumped on to
it. 5 years.
A pile of them. And I'd be one of them going, I'll do this again next year. If this guy came home, right? He thought this might be his last kick. One more year, 700 grand. If he wants to do that again, to be at home, he's shown enough this year. I'd lock that up again for next year.
For the exact same role.
Yeah.
Yeah, little second
PP. He's shown he can still do that, right? And so I would absolutely do that again. And Leaf fans have kind of, I think part of it was the bullshit that he went through at the beginning of the year with Babcock. And people wanted to root for him. And this has to work, right? The way the Leafs have set up their cap, you need guys to come home, right? And take that kind of sentimental.
Well, and you can't, but you also cannot say enough if he is a positive influence,
yeah,
work ethic wise.
They say after every practice, he's sitting there beside Kapanen and most now. Maybe Kapanen's not taking it in if he's getting these internal accountability thing, but he's working with those young guys, right? And they like talking about him.
But I did see the Sandin thing too.
Yes,
last night, right?
On the bench, yeah.
Right, and you look at him and he's talking to him and he's pointing out things.
Yeah,
and a 19-year-old guy, it's invaluable. Somebody who, even if you're not taking all of it in, and you and I both work with young athletes, right? If 50% of what I am, of the gold I am giving you, if 50%,
you'll be brilliant.
If 50% of that sinks in, man, you are on your way.
Right.
So to me, that is invaluable as well. It's the cap hit first and foremost, talent,
yeah,
but also that extra in that added value is essential.
It's true. So it's one of those things.
I also, sorry, just to cut you off. I also wish him, I have no animosity to see him in the Leaf jersey.
So right? I was talking with a couple of Sens fans on Twitter as the game was winding down and said, you know, is wishing Jason Spezza well maybe one of the only things that these two fan bases can agree on? And I got a comment right away from a guy at Gatineau whose name I forget, and that's funny. He goes, that and CeCe. And you're like, yeah, fuck.
Yeah, we're glad to see CeCe there.
Yeah. I think we've all agreed he's not any good. It's maybe more of the...
Well, but I thought he'd be better. I did think he'd be better there.
Well.
And I was wrong, and I have been wrong many times, and so here we are.
So don't forget, later on this week, Chris Stevenson of The Athletic will be on the show. We'll be talking about kind of his journey. We'll be talking a lot of craft beer, and of course, we'll be talking a lot of sports with Chris Stevenson. We're looking forward to doing that. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one. We'll see you later.
See ya!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.